The scripture reading today comes from 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit.
Well, if you're a guest this morning, hopefully you've already learned three things. One is that our welcomer, Eddie, does not know how to manipulate his cell phone. The second is that our song leader, Brent, has trouble finding numbers in the songbook. And the third is that Tommy, who led us in our communion this morning, is a self-described dirtbag. I hate to tell you this, but you've just seen the best that we have to offer. So welcome to the Ventura Church of Christ. And on that note, I want to encourage you to come back Wednesday night, because we'll have more of that same ilk as we offer up worship to God in thanksgiving for this coming Thursday's Thanksgiving Day. This is our second annual Thanksgiving Eve worship. And it's a little different than what we had done for so many years when we had simply a devotional. This will be an absolute worship. We want to encourage all of you who are guests to come back, and all of those of you who are members, to bring someone with you. This is a real opportunity to touch lives with thanksgiving. Everybody kind of can relate to this, or at least needs to have an opportunity to think about it, and to think about reasons to being thankful to God. And so we've entitled it this year, Being Thankful in the Circumstances. I think everybody can relate to that at this particular time. And so I want to encourage you to encourage your friends and family members to come and be part of that. You know, all of us will probably be with family or friends this Thanksgiving, Thursday of this week. We'll gather together and we'll sit down for a meal. For most of us, that will be more than a meal. It'll be a feast. But whatever it is, we'll gather and we'll sit down and we'll have a prayer. A prayer of thanksgiving. We'll thank God for everybody who's present with us at that gathering. We'll thank God for the joys that we individually and those gathered with us have to thank God for. We'll thank God for His material blessings to us. We'll thank God for His spiritual blessings to us. There's probably things that will be at the forefront of all of our minds as we offer up thanksgiving to God, things that we don't have to think about it all, that we want to thank Him for, and it will differ with each of us. But there'll also be things that we won't think about at all that we should thank Him for. You know, we'll probably, somewhere along the line within that prayer, thank God for His great gift and His great sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died, as Tommy just read, to forgive our sins if we choose to obey Him and live with and for Him. But there's a third part of the Godhead that we oftentimes forget or just kind of push down into some kind of, well, less important way. And that is the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit does much more for us than we may realize. We have reason to be thankful to God for His Holy Spirit, for all of the blessings that we derive from Him. In the Old Testament, the primary character is God the Father. And we read about God the Father working for the benefit of His people. And at that point in time, His people were primarily the Jews. God had chosen them to be His selected people. He would work through them to show His glory throughout the world, to all of the nations and all of the peoples. And other peoples would be drawn to that to a certain extent. In the Gospels, the primary character is God the Son, Jesus Christ. And we find there that Jesus is living with His people. And He's fulfilling the promises that God had made to the Old Testament Israelites, the Jews. And He's also making more promises. And then for the remainder of the New Testament, the primary character is the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. And there we find that the Holy Spirit is developing God's people, and he's activating God's work in his people and in his world. The Holy Spirit really is kind of like the silent partner in a business venture. You know, a silent partner is one who's an important part, but we don't see him or hear him. That's why he's called a silent partner. In a similar manner, the Holy Spirit is an unseen, unheard, but vital part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in this world. He develops God's people, and he activates God's work in his people and in his world. And so in the first chapter of Genesis, we find that God created this world and all creatures of the earth, including human beings. When we get to the New Testament book of John chapter 1, the first several verses impress us with the idea that Jesus, as Christ, the Son of God, was also involved in that creative process. But we learn very early in Genesis chapter 1, within the first couple of verses, that there's another party, another part of the Godhead, who was also involved in this creative process, and that was the Holy Spirit. And so we need to thank not only God the Father and God the Son, but also the Spirit for everything surrounding us and for the very fact that we exist and are here. The Bible tells us that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This applies to what men of God said orally as well as what they wrote, what we now have compiled as the Holy Bible. We need to thank God for his Spirit that has enabled humans to both speak and to write God's will for our lives. Consider this. If God had not provided this through his Spirit, then we would not know God and we would not know his will for us. Luke chapter 1. In verses 26 on through 35, tell of a young woman by the name of Mary. We think that she was probably in her early to mid-teens, just given the nature of the culture of that time. She was visited by an angel. It must have scared her half to death. This angel said that she would give birth to a son, Jesus. He would be the Son of the Most High God. Mary had a very legitimate question. She asked the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Have you ever thought about thanking God for his Spirit that made it possible for you and I to have Christ Jesus come to earth to save us? Luke chapter 3 and verse 22 tells us that at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And in the next chapter, in chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, which is where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So the Holy Spirit was protecting and providing for Jesus. Throughout his ministry, Jesus drove demons out of people by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's activity proved that Jesus was not just a prophet, but rather that he was God the Father's Son. The Holy Spirit's work through him caused us to believe in Jesus as God's Son, the promised King, our Lord, and our Savior. We need to thank God for the Spirit's powerful, matchless, and loving activity in Jesus' life, in his death, and in his resurrection. The Spirit's activity in Jesus causes you and I who are believers to believe in his promises, and by virtue of that, to have eternal hope. As Jesus promised to his followers, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit to do God's work. But others who were obedient to Jesus were also enabled by the Spirit and were led by the Spirit. Churches as a whole, groups of Christians, were strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. The church in Antioch was directed by the Spirit to send two specific men among them to take the gospel to other countries. Thank God for working through His Spirit to announce the good news of salvation. Thank God for His Holy Spirit that enables His holy work to be done through people, human beings like you and I. Thank God for the strength and the encouragement and the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. He said this Spirit, or He also calls it the Counselor, would guide His followers in the ways of God's truth. And the reason for that was so that they might testify about Jesus as God's Son and the Savior to all who would listen. Thank God for His Spirit that guides humanity into unchanging truth, God's truth. Christians serve in the new way of the Spirit, we're told, and not in the old way of the written code, the law that God gave it to Moses, to the Jews. And so Romans chapter 1 and verses 1 through 17 really explain this in practical ways that you and I can get a hold of, as it couches it in terms of life lived with the Holy Spirit, life lived by Christians because of and with the Holy Spirit. And so it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, because the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ lives in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Thank God for the freedom He gives Christians to live by the law of the Spirit. Thank God for sacrificing His Son's life so that we could live according to His Spirit. Thank God for the peace we can have with Him because of His Spirit living in us. Thank God for His Spirit that puts to death our sinful nature so that we can live. Thank God for the leadership of His Spirit that makes us God's sons and daughters. Thank God for His Spirit that enables us to be eternal heirs of God with Christ. Because of God's great love, Jews and non-Jews alike both have access to God the Father by one and the same Spirit, God's Spirit. Everyone who obeys Jesus is saved by the sanctifying work of God's Holy Spirit. Christians are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit, which is a deposit that guarantees their inheritance with God. So every person who lives to please God's Spirit will receive eternal life from God's Spirit. Thank God for His Spirit that makes all of these possible and that gives us hope. God pours His love into the hearts of Christians by His Holy Spirit. He makes us the temple of His Spirit, and He lives and is worshipped in that temple, in you and I, who are Christians. Living within us, God's Spirit helps us in our weaknesses and intercedes for us in prayer. We can be strengthened with power as we're filled with God's Spirit. And all Christians are given gifts, that is, spiritually useful abilities, by God's Spirit. Thank God for His love, for His presence, for His aid, for His strength, for His power, and for His abilities, all of that by way of the Holy Spirit. No wonder 2 Corinthians closes with this word: may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We need all of those parts of the Godhead working in our lives, actively at work in our lives. All of the blessings of the Holy Spirit are for those who are in God's kingdom. And Jesus said that no one can enter that kingdom, God's kingdom, unless they are born of water and the Spirit. To do that, Jesus said, a person must be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When we do that, we're forgiven of our sins by God, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For so many reasons, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. This Thursday, when you're gathered for Thanksgiving, and you're thinking of all of the many things that God has blessed you with, of every nature, don't forget to thank God for His Holy Spirit that blesses our lives in so many ways, and particularly so if we're Christians. Have you been baptized to receive the many blessings of God's Spirit? If not, why not? And why not do it this morning by coming forward right now as we stand to sing this song?